Hey, everybody. It's kind of funny because for a split second, when I switched cameras, it was just an empty seat, and then suddenly I was in the seat. For about three frames of video, there was an empty couch, and then I was there. Hey, everybody. Here we are. Another Sunday night. Yep.
Yeah, it sounds like you probably needed to be referencing RGB 106 today.
Yeah. It was kind of the tipping point, and I went ahead and upgraded my main TV this week through many trials and tribulations. Actually, I ordered one online, and I ended up getting this like the new 2018 version of the OLED that Tri has. It was also with a little nudge by John Linneman, who got this new version as well. And
except he got the 65, I think.
Right. And
for like a crazy deal.
Yeah, it was like 2,000. I think he said he spent on it. Which, I mean, when you consider
for
like
65, that's insane.
Yeah. I can't even imagine how big that's got to be, because I'm looking at this 55 and like I definitely could not probably fit another like a bigger TV in the space. Like,
no,
I
couldn't.
Maybe I could, but it'd be pushing it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's the same thing with me. It's like very much a maybe, but it would be kind of a waste.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel the same way. What's kind of nice is it definitely covers up the kind of crap that I have on the wall behind the TV. Which is like
your router and stuff.
Yeah. It conceals that a bit better. It's kind of nice. But yeah, I went ahead and got it. I got a deal online and it showed up and it had a crack all the way across it. So I'm returning that one, and I just decided to go ahead and buy a local one.
It went on sale today.
Yes, at Best Buy. The reason I went online is because Amazon, like one of the third party, had like a 15% off coupon. So I used that. And I was like, I guess, you know, like that helps me justify it a bit more. And then, of course, it shows up with a crack. And I'm like, so I'm going to return it, but I'm just going to go ahead and buy it locally. And then I kind of resigned myself to like spending the amount that it was without the crack. I mean, not mm-hmm. without the coupon. And then it went on sale today for exactly as much as it was with the coupon. So, you know, it was quite worth it.
So now you're kind of like, maybe I should get a PS4 Pro or an Xbox One X.
Yeah, I was actually like, you know, if I had read on Cheap Ass Gamer that there was a deal on an Xbox One X where you get a free game, like up to $59.99 with it, and that wasn't the case. I guess that they must have changed that at the last minute, like in the weekly ad.
So you have not bought a system.
I've not bought a system. So I guess like I'm going to be christening this TV with Ace of Seafood, basically.
I mean, what could be more fitting? Yeah. I mean, heck, I christened my TV with Final Fantasy 12.
Yeah, I mean that's good. That's good.
I mean, at least that. I mean, that is, it mildly takes advantage of the PS4 Pro.
Yeah,
like it's like 1440p.
Yeah, Ace of Seafood probably does not.
No, but I mean, to my eyes, like even at the time, like just 1440p, like, and just because the screen itself looks so much better than my old LCD, like, that was enough to just blow my mind.
Right. I mean, it's pretty incredible, but I haven't really spent a lot of time with it because when I got home with it, my friend Joey helped me hook it up, and you know, because it's
he's got the B6, right?
I think so. Yes.
The 2016.
Yeah. I mean, it's the screen is really skinny. Like, it's really really thin. It's like as thin as like an iPhone, basically.
Yeah, I kind of had regrets. Like after I was done editing the episode, I was like, man, I should have done a slider shot that like went from the backside to the front side.
Oh yeah, to really see.
Next time I have an opportunity to do that, I'll try to remember that. That would have been a fun shot.
But it's actually pretty heavy, considering how thin like the actual screen itself is.
Yeah, I mean I think it's got some pretty serious electronics in that like thick part toward the bottom of the TV.
Yeah, it's
what color is the backside? Mine's white.
It's not white. I think it's like a grayish, like a dark grayish. It's definitely not white. I think it's gray. I didn't really think about it too much. But yeah, I mean, it is pretty cool. The first game that I played on it was Gate of Thunder.
Because, on the OSSC?
Yeah, it was the very first game that was played
on it. Was it in 4X or 5X?
It was in 4X, because that's kind of what I've been defaulting to, like just for capture and stuff like that.
Because right, because 5X doesn't seem to work on your capture card with, for SNES and NES.
Right, and I like 4X. Like I just think that 4X works really nicely.
Right, but I mean, but it still captures the full frame. It doesn't cut off anything as long as you don't use the 1080p version.
Exactly, and I want to I have to stay in that mode at least for a little while, because I've been I spent like the last like several days like throughout the weekend and stuff like that capturing and finishing Phantasy Star 3 for an upcoming episode. Finally, you know, several years after, I think I released that in
2 years
ago. It'll be 3 years in December, I think. Anyways, like that, you can look forward to that coming out. And I like the whole game was recorded in 4X, and then I actually went ahead and started playing through Phantasy Star 4 pretty much right after it, because I was like, you know, it's been a long time since I played Phantasy Star 4. I haven't played it since my first playthrough of it, you know, when it came out. And wow, it's Phantasy Star 4. It's a lot better than I remember it being, and I remember it being really, really good. But it's actually pretty impressively good. But should I go ahead and start? I guess, you know. Everyone's here for Ace of Seafood. This is
that's right.
This is why.
Every once in a while, like I had never heard of it until the limited run came about for it. But I love that system.
I kind of
now wish I got the game, just because that's like maybe the best PS4 system menu icon.
It's a fish with a laser coming out of its mouth.
And you know what would be great about that is it would appear in like the folder, like if you put it in a folder, it would appear with those like top three, because it's alphabetically Ace of Seafood. So I would always see it. Oh gosh, now I want it.
Hang on, I gotta turn down the kid monitor because they're yelling, and I forgot to turn it down before the stream. One second.
Now the audio is, the volume's a little high for me. It's gonna be hard to hear you.
Oh. Hang on, let me turn down that music because this has got to be way loud for you.
Yeah, did you turn the volume down?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, because it was crazy loud for me.
Yeah. Maybe I'll turn it up just so you can hear it. Can you even hear it at all now?
Not really. Very, very faintly.
Which is
fine. Yeah, you know, every once in a while, we've come across people who are like really excited about Ace of Seafood.
Really?
You won't remember our translator for a couple of our days in Japan. We mentioned Ace of Seafood. He's like, oh, apparently he's into it. I've seen a few other people get excited about Ace of Seafood. I think it's got a cult following.
Tell us your background. Do I want to be a salmon, a tough fish that will take on any opponent, a spiny lobster? Its fate is to crawl across ground, However, its shell is very hard. Shrimp, they are delicious. However, they jump so fast that ordinary fish can't catch them.
Ooh.
A mackerel. I feel like I gotta be a mackerel, because I always say holy mackerel. A mackerel is one of the most... Mackerel is one of the most nutritional fish we can eat. It bewilders its enemies with its quick movements and attacks. Or a sardine. Sardines are weak, but great in number. Have faith in your allies. I mean, probably a salmon is probably the best one I should start with. Oh, looks like we got a $5 donation.
Oh, from Kill Pain. Just got a power component switcher that has 4 inputs, but need to hook up a couple more systems. Do you recommend using a Y splitter to hook up more? Question, are you using HD retrovision cables for any of that?
I'm gonna be a mackerel. I'm gonna be the mackerel.
Because actually Steve told us that he kind of included a secret feature.
Wait, hang on. Oh, go ahead. I want to read you the story when you're done here.
Oh, okay.
Oh, forget it. I lost it.
Oh, no.
You go ahead. I missed it, too, anyway.
It is the future. The human mind is separate from the body, but has not yet forgotten something.
Okay, that's...
It is the future.
Yeah, it is the future. Okay, go ahead.
Steve told us that he, like, kind of included a secret feature in the HD retrovision cables, where if you were to Y split them, like it's designed in such a way that it won't lose the strength of the signal. So if you're using HD retrovision cables, you could kind of combine them together that way. Other cables, I don't know if it would necessarily be that good of an idea.
We got another donation.
Oh, Castlemania Games. Have you taken a look at the M cable HDMI cables? Can't remember if you had. Yeah, we've actually shown it in 2 episodes, a little bit in the PS2 episode, just because I thought it'd be interesting to see what it could do with like 480p or 480i converted to 480p. It was again in this just released 4K episode, kind of later in the episode. And I mean, it works. It does what it says it does. And yet for some reason, I kind of loathe it. It just makes me mad for a variety of reasons. Next time I'm at Corey's house, I'm going to go shove it off on him because I don't even want it in my house anymore. It frustrates me. It works. I mean, but the thing that annoys me is for example, I couldn't get into my receiver. You know how we didn't have game audio last week? It was because the M cable made me try to fiddle in the back of my receiver, and I accidentally swapped my Zone 2 output and my monitor output. So that's why there wasn't audio on the stream last, or game audio on the stream last week. I figured that out the next day. So blame the M cable on that. But it seems picky about what it will, the only way I was really able to capture it was to plug it directly into the capture card. It's just, it's fiddly, it's frustrating. It works, but it shifts color, and I kind of don't like that. The impact, in my opinion, is most noticeable on 720p games. It looks pretty good on 720p games. But man, if you look at the marketing on their website, it's like definitely kind of shady, because they're like talking about 4K, like the cable might be 4K. And at first I'm like, wait, did they release another version that actually does support 4K? And I had to dig a little bit, but no, they didn't. It's the same old cable, but they're just like, oh, gee golly, it'll look real good on your 4K TV, because they just want to throw the word 4K in there. And I'm thinking, why do they want to be shadier in their marketing? Like, their product already sounds like scam, right? Like, everyone's thinking their cable is a scam. It already sounds like a scam, except it's not. It works. But, so why don't you lean into more, your marketing is more like, oh, you know, yes, we realize this sounds like completely ridiculous, but yes, it does work. You know, here, mm-hmm. here's some review quotes or something. You know, rather than being like, ooh, 4K, what it doesn't do, like, they're just making it shadier, and it's really stupid. But anyway, that's going on the side. The M cable, it works, but I don't know. Like, the thing, I feel like I would be inclined to maybe use it with something. Maybe I would use it with my PS3, for example, because it looks pretty good on 720p stuff, but it shifts the color. And so I feel like, I mean, and there's no way to turn the processing on or off. It annoys me. It annoys me, but it does work. I mean, you know, I'm not going to say it doesn't work, but it bothers me personally a bit. It's interesting, but it annoys me.
I'm fighting some sardines.
So how are the controls?
It's not too bad, actually.
Yeah? Like, it's a little hard to sort of wrap my head around what's going on here.
I mean, you're basically just, you know, it's like a, you have a move and a look, and you can lock on, you know, and move up and down. You can speed up. It's pretty. What's that?
Oh, I was just gonna say, some people are saying it works good with like GameCube or PS2. It works good with like 480p signals. I mean, that's kind of what I was testing with PS2 to some extent. I don't know. I feel like it looks a little blobby on 480p stuff. Like here's the thing. The aliasing is still going to be there. Like, the sharp, jaggy edges are still going to be there, but instead of looking like squares, they're just going to look like blobs. So as you see, like, the camera move around an object and the contour of the edge changes, and on, you know, normally it's, you know, this jagged edge and it, you know, kind of shimmers as it turns. Well, now it's a blob. I mean, it doesn't, like, make it a smooth curve. It's now, it's like a blobby edge, and it's still going to, like, blobble is, you know, it moves. I think it looks blobby. I don't know. It's not to my taste. And two, I also feel like if I wasn't making a YouTube show, I might use it for something. Like I say, I might use it for my PS3. But I also feel like, unless we're specifically showing the M cable, I wouldn't want to capture PS3 processed in that way. I would want more of a pure capture for PS3 or, you know, GameCube or whatever those systems might be.
We're attacking a Barracuda, and it's like not looking good.
Uh-oh. So you've got like an army of mackerels with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man, that Barracuda is like all up in you.
I know.
Like, is there a dodge button?
There's not. It says, so I think you're not supposed to, it's kind of open world. I'm kind of just like looking
around.
Are you around.
Like conquering?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm conquering the ocean floor.
Awesome.
See, I can't get, that reef is probably a bad idea. It says it's okay to run away from enemies that are too strong for you right now.
You need to go out, Sandy. I don't know if I believe you, but okay.
Oh, it's a nettle. Sea anemone. Oh, geez, another barracuda. Crap. Let's run away. Run away, run away!
Thank you.
The Barracuda is still coming after me. Ah! Oh geez, now I gotta fight two. Oh, it like eats me with two bites. It kills me. That's exactly right, Attack of the Pixels. All right, let's see if I can find something that's not quite so crazy as a Barracuda. Oh, what's that? That's a sea anemone. White items are food. They will satisfy your hunger.
So how does the ocean floor look with inky perfect black levels?
Pretty good. I hadn't even been thinking about the fact that I was playing this on a different TV. I was so invested.
That's how immersed you are. Yeah. In Ace of
there we go.
Or maybe the TV added to your immersion.
Maybe.
So I finished on our Twitch. Twitch channel. Sandy, what's your problem? Yeah, is that hiccups or gagging? What's wrong? It
says white items are food. They will satisfy your hunger. The translation of this makes it even better, I think.
Do you think, for some reason, I feel like it's like a Japanese game?
Oh, absolutely. Someone said earlier that like this is the kind of game that could only come from the mind of a Japanese game developer. Mm. Ooh, there's a red frog crab. I bet I can unlock all of these things. To play as, you know, all the crabs and stuff like that. I was very surprised at the amount of patches on disc there was.
You mean
all the patches.
It had the download patches or the patches were on the disc?
Yeah, I mean the patches are on the disc and you can still like browse the update history. Even though it's like on the disc. Mm-hmm. And there's several of them. I'm gonna go up to the unreached reef up here. Ooh, it's a street light. Oh, it's
a street light?
Yeah. Or not a street light, it's like a telephone pole. Like electricity.
I mean this is the future.
Yeah. Oh geez, not another Barracuda. Ugh. I don't understand. How do I can't even kill the Barracuda. Vinman is asking if I enjoyed getting beat up by Joe from GameSack. I didn't even know he was here. When did that happen?
There was some before the stream. Someone somewhere. Are you ready for my life and gaming? People are very good at transliterating that.
This now.
Because of DF's DF Retro's water tech videos.
Oh yeah, I wonder if that was, if it was on there.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I haven't. I watched the opening of the first one,
uh-huh.
And it was like the most refreshing thing I ever saw in my life. Like, I immediately went to my fridge and got a blue Gatorade. Yeah, I beat Rockman and Fort, or Mega Man and Bass, whatever you prefer, on the Twitch channel yesterday. That's kind of what we're using for, you know. I mean, it was just me by myself, you know, so it wasn't terribly exciting. So if watching one of us stream by ourselves, or occasionally maybe joined by the other.
Make sure you check out our Twitch channel.
Make sure you check out our Twitch channel, which is probably less exciting than these streams. But
new life forms can be assembled. Ooh, that king crab is like, ooh, it's giving me the ugh. I'm not a big arthropod fan.
No, yeah.
Yeah, they're just very creepy looking.
Do you like eating them?
No, I'm not like a seafood fan basically at all. Like, I hate like crab and all that stuff.
You like fish?
I mean, I like.
Oh, you.
I
like, you like, you know, sushi?
Yeah, I like sushi. That's true. But just like I like salmon, I don't like at all.
See, I don't like fish very much. So the idea of raw fish just makes it even closer to being a pure real fish. And I'm not into that.
He's like chasing after me, you see him? I'm gonna kill him.
Those are mackerel, aren't those mackerels too?
They're a different faction of mackerel.
Oh no. Do you think this game started off just as like prototyping for like what they assumed would be like a space combat game, and then like they just like put fish in one day and they're like, all right, we're sticking with this.
Ooh, I can now enter the wagon of hay.
The wagon of hay.
Yeah. So I'm conquering all these reefs, and then I can launch from any of them, I guess.
Oh.
I think I'm just...
Yeah, I like shrimp.
Yeah, I really don't like shrimp.
I love shrimp, but I'm not, like, a huge fan of, like, stuff like crab legs or crab cakes. I mean, they're okay, but I love shrimp. And I'll eat like fried fish, like, you know, maybe once a year, but you know, it's not a go-to for me.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'm just not really too into fish. Shrimp, I love shrimp.
Oh, I gotta see if we can defeat the king crab.
Casey in the chat says, I like cooked fish, but I'm with you on sushi. Tried sushi once and hated it. See, like for me, like, I've tried like non-raw fish sushi. I mean, I can't even bring myself to try raw fish sushi just because, like, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I mean, the fact that, you know, I don't really care that much for fish to begin with, and then just, I can't. I can't even imagine trying it, but like, I've tried sushi that has things other than fish in them. You know, I in Japan, I tried a sushi with shrimp and another one or two that, you know, didn't have fish in them. But, you know, and I've tried sushi here and there, but it's just like, I don't understand why it's this like huge thing that's just like one of the most godly foods. Like, all it is like a thing and rice wrapped in seaweed. And right. Personally, I'd rather have the thing and the rice without the seaweed. Like, it's not that the seaweed is bad, but it's not good. Like, and it doesn't really taste too good when you dip it in something else. Like, you dip it in a little soy sauce and you dip it in, like, I don't see, most people don't even dip it in anything. Like, it's just, I don't know. There's just nothing to it that's all that interesting to me.
No, I can understand. I mean, generally, like, well, I mean, my favorite sushi is basically is tuna. Anything tuna, which is, it's a really safe choice.
But, oh, not for me, though. Tuna is, like, one of my most loathed fishes.
Oh, okay.
Last time I threw up was after eating some tuna.
Okay. Well, I mean, I can understand that.
And I was reluctant to eat it to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand that kind of stuff. I don't want to do this. So then, if you throw up on something, like, you'd never want to eat it again. You know, I threw up on, of all things, applesauce. In second grade, I've not eaten applesauce since.
I feel like applesauce would be a pretty gross thing to throw up.
Yeah, it was definitely pretty gross. It was like homemade applesauce. I do like apples.
You like, okay.
I like apple juice.
But it's the texture of applesauce. But
yeah, I mean, I just can't have applesauce anymore. Like, the thought of it, it just, like, grosses me out. I mean,
someone in the chat threw up eating green jello once.
Ugh.
Part of me kind of wants to see what that would look like, just out of scientific curiosity.
There's another time where I got sick and threw up, like stuffed shells. Not like shells, but like pasta shells. It had like, it was kind of like
shell, the shell shaped pasta.
Yeah, well, it was like a single big shell shaped pasta, but it was like, oh. it was kind of like a big, like a shell shaped lasagna, I guess. And I got sick off of that, and I projectile vomited like red sauce like all over my bed. I mean, this must be like a few years later, and I just like haven't really eaten that since.
But that's just like one shape of pasta.
Yes, exactly.
You like spaghetti otherwise.
I like spaghetti, and I also like lasagna, which is like, it basically is lasagna.
See, I don't like spaghetti. I'm that one weird person that doesn't like spaghetti. I've ran into maybe like two or three other people in my life.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That doesn't like spaghetti.
Yeah,
I don't know, we may have
talked about that before. I mean, I think that's just crazy.
Yeah, I forget who else it is that was with me on spaghetti. Like, I like lasagna with the right kind of sauce and a lot of cheese and meat. Like your wife had spaghetti one time.
Oh, right, and you didn't.
And like, but like, I didn't say anything, but I put a whole lot of Parmesan on. And there were some really chunky meatballs in it too. So yes. Like, the, you know, with a lot of cheese and a lot of meat, you know, I can eat that. I mean, that's basically lasagna. But it's something about the two simple ingredients of pasta and just tomato sauce. Something about those two things together and nothing else is gross to me. Like, that combination needs more ingredients to be appetizing. Like, I just don't, I don't like it.
I wonder what the decoy does. Let's send the decoy after stuff.
I also don't like spaghetti noodles very much. They're just too difficult to eat. I'd rather eat just about any other kind of pasta.
That's crazy. I mean, what can you do?
What can you do?
So, you know, I really want you to play Phantasy Star 4 now.
But I need to play 2 and 3 first, right?
Yeah, because you were planning on just doing like 1 and 4.
I was.
For a long time, but now you have the other ones, so you got to do it.
Well, I don't have 3 yet.
So I'm going on vacation.
I don't think I told this story on the stream, but last time eBay did like one of those big, it was actually like sort of a Prime Day jab. There was like a code that was like Primo 199,
mm-hmm.
or 119, and if you bought $119.99 worth of stock, then you got a flat $25 off. I think that was the coupon, right?
Yeah.
And I ordered Phantasy Star 3. Shabibin Man 1. the PC Engine CD version of Valis. And what else was there? It was another Hue card game. Oh, Legendary Axe 2. Well, and that all added up to about $121, so just a little over the coupon. Well, the person that was selling Phantasy Star 3, I guess it must have been like a game store, because they messaged me saying, oops, sorry, we sold it in the store and forgot to take it off of eBay. So he refunded me, but since eBay, you know, the sellers, even when eBay's doing these coupons, the sellers are getting, you know, their full value. So he refunded me the full sticker price.
Like more than you paid.
More than I paid.
And more than was even selling for, right? Was it more than it
no,
was?
No, no, no. It was the sticker price.
Oh, okay.
So it was the money he got, but the money he got from eBay, which was more than I paid because of the coupon. So he refunded me the full amount, which means that the coupon was like a 33% discount on Shabibin Man, Valis, and Legendary Axe 2. So I felt real good about the deals I got on that. Anyway, sorry, you were saying something about you're going on vacation, I think?
Yeah. So I'm going on vacation next Sunday. Actually, like the vacation technically starts on Friday, I guess. My friend Chris lives in North Carolina, is coming up to visit, and we are going to up to Columbus, and we are going to see the Smashing Pumpkins reunion show. Like, I am now at the age where bands that I liked when I was a teenager are now having reunion tours. but we are going to go see that. And then he's going to go back to North Carolina on Sunday. And I'm going camping with my family up in Michigan. And I'm going to go up there, and I'm planning on like kind of really taking it easy, but I'm going to write my Phantasy Star 3 and 4 scripts, so I actually have them both, like, easily shootable, I guess.
Yeah, and maybe it won't be a big gap between them.
Nope, there won't be a big gap. I intend on cranking them out.
So you're pretty confident you can finish Phantasy Star 4.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that if I play it.
I don't think it's a terribly long game. I mean, I seem to remember people saying it's like very well paced.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I'm. So I thought it was amazing when it came out, but it is even better than I remember it being. And I'm just amazed at the amount of like kind of streamlining. I feel like I can recruit. Oh, that is my own macro.
I mean, I definitely get the impression it's like the Genesis is Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. Jeez, there's a great white shark. There's no way that I'm going to be able to take this thing out. It's gigantic. It's, hopefully it leaves me alone. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's pretty big. I mean, you've taken on King Krabs, but...
I couldn't even beat the King Krabs.
Oh, I thought you did.
No, I came close, I think.
So is there depth on the map, or not?
It doesn't show any depth. I like that I can actually jump out of the water a little bit.
Is it raining under the water? It kind of looked like there was like streaks or something.
I think it's just the reflection. Oh, geez. It's a red frog crab. You can get him back. Taking him down. but yeah, I mean, I'm just pretty amazed at Phantasy Star 2, or Phantasy Star 4. I haven't been able to stop thinking about it since playing it the other day.
After I finished Mega Man Base, I've spent some time. I'm still planning to play God of War next week, but after I finished Mega Man Base, I thought I would.
Oh, geez, the music just really kicked up here. I have to defeat the Fletcher. Uh-oh. Sorry. Holy cow, is it a boat? It is. It's like a battleship.
Whoa.
Kills me with one hit. Wait, what were we saying you were playing after Mega Man and Base?
I decided to take some time to work on finishing sort of the interim story that takes place between Final Fantasy XIV, a Realm Reborn story, and the first expansion, which is Heavensward. Like, I've been languishing in that storyline in between for like years. And just out of lack of time or whatever, I'm like super behind in Final Fantasy 14. And the second expansion came out last summer, and so I've been working finishing that story, and I think I'm really close. Like, I think I may have actually done the last fight before I can gain access to the new areas, and then there's probably just some missions and stuff in between. But I was relatively close before, but I just spent some time yesterday and today working on that. But I mean, it's kind of crazy to think, because when, you know, Final Fantasy 14 launched in 2010, and obviously it was not well received.
Mm-hmm.
There was a city that you could see in the distance called Ishgard, and it's this, you know, very almost, you know, Disney or Neuschwanstein like castle city, but it's this whole city with all these spires and stuff, and it looks awesome, and you could see it in the distance in the original version of Final Fantasy 14. But you couldn't go there, it wasn't ready yet. But then when they did a Realm Reborn, you still couldn't access it. You could still see it in the distance, but you still couldn't access it, because, you know, they were working on rebuilding the base world, essentially, and making it actually like interesting and playable. The first expansion is centered around Ishgard, this city that you couldn't access. And like, it's just like kind of amazing to me to think that the city I looked at like 8 years ago,
gosh,
off in the
crazy
distance.
It's been that long.
I know, and I wanted to go there, and I couldn't. And like, to think now that like I'm, you know, a day or, you know, maybe even tonight after the stream, like I can go there. Like, it's kind of just surreal to think about how, I think it is really weird to think that Final Fantasy 14 is 8 years old. Like, yeah, it, I mean, just, it that makes is, that no is
crazy
sense.
Crazy to me.
And yes. that was when, so, I mean, gosh, let me think. I mean, I'm 33 now, almost 34, but I mean, we'll say for the sake of argument, I'm 33. So that means when, like, I was doing that big Final Fantasy 11 push with the backloggery people, that was, I was 25. Like, wow. Like looking back, it's like, man, like, no wonder I could handle that at that point in my life. I was so young, I had nothing to do.
Yeah.
Oh man, I look back on those days, like, I'll never have a game experience again, I don't think, like Final Fantasy 11. Like, in part because I just don't think there's going to be another game like Final Fantasy 11.
Yeah, and like, then, you know, your video about it does tend to get, some comments every once in a while.
Yeah, and you know, and it's like, people have this fondness for it that, I mean, you know, again, I don't necessarily think Final Fantasy XI is a good game, but somehow it's like, not in spite of, but because of some of the aspects of Final Fantasy XI that, you know, make it kind of difficult and not very user-friendly and stuff, like the fact that the world was like this big challenge to surmount in and of itself, you know, just kind of made people, like, you know, cling together and work together, and it was this beautiful thing that I don't think I'll ever experience again. Like, it was, oh man, I mean, but the world of Final Fantasy XI. I mean, my biggest hope is that when they're ready to shut down Final Fantasy XI for good, that there will be like, they'll make like this, you know, whatever the current generation is at that time, they'll make a version of the game, you know, with the level of quality of graphics of the current generation systems, and you know, that world will be preserved and there to explore. And I want it to be the real world.
Like, you'd even, you want to do what?
I would like for them to have like a, you know, maybe a jazzed up version of the story in it too. But at the very least, I just want to be able to explore that world for posterity.
Right.
Because I love that world. Like, it's just, the fact that it takes so long to go from end to end, like, there's something about it that, you know, I would in college, I would wake up on a Saturday, and you know, this was during my first stint with Final Fantasy XI. I would wake up on like a Saturday or Sunday morning, and I would just be like, you know, I'm going to try to go through this cave that I've never gone through before and just see where it takes me. You know, I'd get through, like, I was a white mage for a good chunk of my time in Final Fantasy XI. So white mages have a lot of stealth skills that, like, they can cast white magic that cloaks them. And so you're able to go past monsters that you shouldn't be able to go past. And, you know, I just went through. I mean, and compare that, say, to Final Fantasy XIV, where, you know, the expansion that includes Ishgard, you know, came out like a few years ago at this point, and I haven't been able to go because I haven't progressed in the story to that point. Like, you know, that area is locked off for story reasons. But in Final Fantasy XI, in most cases, if I had the expansion, I could go to the area. Like, some areas you might have to unlock, but for the most part, you could for the most part, you could you could go there. You could go there. Maybe you didn't really have anything you could do there. But you could go there. And I love that stuff. Like, I love the idea that a world is sectioned off not by how you progress in the game, but it's sectioned off only by how difficult it is. Like,
right.
You know, the only reason you can't go there is because the monsters are too tough. But Final Fantasy XI, if you're a white mage, you can disguise yourself and, you know, walk past it. It's still a bit of a challenge because the invisibility spell lasts like a random amount of time. So, and it dispels if you cast another spell. So it's still a challenge. Like, just exploring that world as a white mage was a lot of fun.
I wonder how you get stronger in this. If I can, like, level up or anything like that. I'm gonna go back to the reef and really kind of explore the options here. I guess the closest thing to that experience that I had was with Phantasy Star Online.
Mm-hmm. I saw a Dreamcast version of Phantasy Star Online at the game store the other day. Part of me wondered if I should get it, but I don't know, like, what if I wanted to get some degree of a Phantasy Star Online experience, and that being probably not actually something I could play with other people, like, what would I pick up?
Hang on, I'm sorry, I was totally just, like, figuring out this breeding thing that I can do right now.
I mean, this kind of makes me think of Tokyo Jungle in a way.
I think I can. I'm making a like a team of stuff. So maybe we just.
Sandy, do you really need to do something? I'm sorry. She's just like acting like she desperately needs to do something. But if she doesn't, if she doesn't do anything this time, then you're getting ignored into the industry. Okay.
Okay. 170/190. So I guess I'm making a. Like a bigger team here. I don't really understand it. But we're gonna see how this goes. I have way more animals with me now. Way more fish and crabs. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited for the show. I've heard that the shows on this tour have been pretty good. I haven't even, like, looked at any of the set lists because I think they're playing the same set list all the way through. So, except for the other night, I guess they had, like, an anniversary show that was all kinds of stuff. But I don't really know. I don't know what to expect. I mean, Billy Corgan these days is—he's kind of wacky. But, you know, I'm trying to think about that. I don't know if the music changes eventually. I feel like it's eventually gonna change. It's a telephone booth. Oh, lionfish. Thank you. I wouldn't say that I've been wanting to stream this game. It's too hilarious. Like, the name of it just is too funny not to, it's perfect for a Sunday night. Guess I shouldn't go that way. Maybe this is just telling me where I should go, the next reef I should go to. Oh, and that's the one I was just at. Yeah, it was music on the title screen, so that's three songs. I think the smaller ones mean that, like, less. Oh, this one doesn't even have anything. Dog is going nuts.
Sandy was a good girl for this one. How's the music in this game? I can't really hear it.
It's not great. I mean, it's just like some.
Like, what's the style?
It's just like, it sounds like. Yeah, I'll turn it off for you. Like kind of like a drum and bass type thing. Can you hear that now?
Yeah.
Well, give it a second.
Kind of not what I would expect, to be honest.
Well, let's listen for a minute, and you'll. It's better than just what you're hearing right now.
Oh, like okay.
I mean, honestly.
Yeah, you can turn that back down.
Yeah. I am. I'm turning it down. I mean, I didn't exactly have, like, the highest hopes for this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the appeal of it is that it's just, like...
fish shooting lasers?
Yeah. It's like, what is this?
Yeah.
That is kind of the...
I mean, it looks interesting, though.
Yeah.
Like, you're conquering the ocean.
Yeah. One unreached reef at a time. I mean, it's just kind of like open world. I mean, there's, whoa. Jeez, something got me. I didn't even see what was attacking me.
Oh, man. It's lightning all over the place.
I don't know what it was, though. I was doing some serious exploring, too.
Brian Pliskin says, after 4 months, my CompSoft finally sent back my FrameMeister from repairs. That's interesting. I never really thought about sending in a FrameMeister for repairs.
Yeah.
Where do you ship it to? I heard they're in Osaka, I think, actually. I guess I just assumed Tokyo because by default, everyone assumes everything in Japan is in Tokyo.
Yeah, was it fixed?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Can you imagine living in a world where the only game that you really actually enjoyed was Ace of Seafood? It's like, I bought this PS4 is $300 and all it is an Ace of Seafood machine.
I mean, I don't really understand the whole, like, I mean, not say anything against it, but, you know, I mean, the whole thing where all someone plays is Overwatch, or all someone plays is PUBG, or all someone plays is Fortnite, or they speed run this game or that game, like they specialize in this one game, at least for a while or a number of years, and that's like as the game they play, they load it up for a round of this or that, and that's what they play. Like I've got my favorites, but you know, I like to in general play a variety of games. I mean, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, people doing that. It's just it doesn't work with my mindset, I guess. I mean, I was thinking about that the other day, like, you know, like kind of almost in relation to, you know, sports, like, you know, basketball or football or whatever. And if you think about it, like those people are just specializing in one sport and just mastering that sport. And I guess it's the same mentality that makes that appeal to people.
Yeah.
You know, makes them want to, all right, I just play Overwatch. Okay, I just speed run this one game. You know, I did that. That's not for me, but, you know, I don't understand, but I respect it. That's fine. And yeah, that's fine and dandy.
Well, I'm just gonna specialize in Ace of Seafood. I wonder if there is like a speed run, if someone out there speed runs this game.
Oh no, there's probably.
Or maybe I should just make that my thing.
Well, apparently he sent it to Solaris, Brian Pliskin did. I guess the IC was blown out. I assume that, I believe that's the chip that, I believe that's the chip that is like discontinued.
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't even thought about the fact that the FrameMeister was being discontinued until you mentioned it in the new video.
People haven't been freaking out about it recently.
Yeah.
Oh wow, apparently the whole ordeal didn't cost him a cent. How long have you had your FrameMeister?
That's good to know.
BB Richard was asking if my 4K Ever Media card had issues accepting resolutions from the OSSC. I have not had any issues. I don't even think, like, once I got everything set up and working correctly, I don't think I've even had it drop at all. You know, I was playing... I think I was on the Magewell when I was playing Mega Man and Bass last Sunday, and I did have a few drops there, which surprised me. But I played it on the AverMedia on Twitch yesterday, and I was playing for several hours. I don't think there was any drops. I was Super Nintendo 5X. I don't think I had any drops. I know that Epos Vox, you know, he was the one that helped me get in contact with AverMedia in the first place. And the main reason I did, because I asked him, I said, because he did a review of it, and I said, have you tested with OSSC? And he said, I haven't, but he went and tested it, and it was looking very promising. Like, it was accepting Super Nintendo 5X and stuff. He said the only thing he had trouble with was 480p 2X, 960p.
But that works fine on yours.
And he said it looked like it was dropping a bit, but it was fine for me. Now, I don't know what was causing his problem. There's some possibility that the Denon receiver could condition the signal to some extent, but it's not supposed to. I mean, as far as I know, it's supposed to be pure pass-through because of the way I have it set up. But I mean, you know, every way I've tested it so far, though, I mean, I don't think anything that I would use, like, I mean, there's like the 480i 3x mode, which works on like nothing but the Magewell that I've tested so far. But like everything I want to use, which is basically, I mean, my go-to modes are 240p 5x, 480i 4x, 480p 2x. Those are the main modes I use.
Yeah.
And it works in all those modes with every system I've tested.
I mean, now that I have this TV, it's like, I guess that's something I got to start thinking about too. It's like, I got to get a 4K card probably at some point as well.
Right. Well, I mean, it's a surprisingly affordable card. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
It's like under $300. So, I mean...
I mean, that's probably going to be the thing that I guess I should probably...
And I really did like using the AverMedia ExtremeCap U3 that we used for so many years.
Yeah.
Because that was like actually like the first to market for 1080p 60 for a consumer card. And there was really not a lot of you had a little bit of trouble with it, but I never really did.
I just had a problem with it, like, getting, like, a video hit every once in a while. And then that would cause the audio to sometimes, like, desync.
Yeah. I don't know what your problem was, because it never did anything like that for me. But yeah, I mean, it's really so far so good with the AverMedia card. I mean, you know, at this point, the Magewell was kind of a waste of money, unfortunately. But... You know, it was my main card for using with the OSSC for like 9 months. So that was important, I guess. But now it's kind of like, oh, I don't really need it anymore. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I mean, I guess it's helpful to have two capture cards right now. You're jumping out of the water.
I know. I was trying to see if I could go and get up there.
But yeah, it basically, it's vastly more affordable than the... Than the Magewell. I don't know how the price compares to the PEX HD Cap 60L.
It might be like...
How much did you pay for that?
I looked at it recently, and it's like $300, and mine was not that much. So it may have gone up in price for some reason.
I mean, the AverMedia might be the most affordable... I mean, here's the thing. It's not... I don't know if it's the most affordable OSSC-friendly card, but it's certainly the most affordable that does OSSC plus 4K and HDR, and really the only one that does HDR that's not like a professional product.
Right.
So, I mean, it's... The only issue I have had so far is that... And I voiced some of these originally in the video, but I just... At the end, like, I had to cut a few things out, mostly because I felt they weren't too important, and because I wasn't 100% sure if I could verify it, because I sent some feedback to AverMedia and said, you know, my one big thing would be I'm not seeing a way to record 4x3 for high resolution modes like 1600 by 1200.
Yeah, it should just be able to tell, like, oh, this resolution is a 4x3 resolution.
Right, and it displays it in the correct aspect ratio, but it records it stretched. Now, it's not a huge problem because I can correct it in Premiere.
But it'd be nice to not have to worry about
it. Or I could correct it in OBS, which actually the new Rec Central actually offers its own streaming tools. It seems like they might be good, but I'm planning to just stick with OBS for now. But anyway, you know, it's easy to correct for Premiere or OBS. Well, she came back to me and said that in the multi-stream mode or whatever it is, like, there's a mode where you can set up a scene, like, essentially like OBS.
Yeah.
And in that mode, you can record directly. You can make it like correct aspect ratio 1600 by 1200. She actually sent me a screenshot.
Is that like a lot of extra work?
Not necessarily. I mean, maybe a one-time setup, it might be a little extra work, but not like every time. But she actually sent me a screenshot.
But you'd have to know when something was going to be 4x3.
You can make a different scene, I guess. But
right.
She actually sent me a screenshot that had 1600 by 1200 showing up in that mode. And so I didn't have time to really verify that for myself. And so I kind of cut that part out of the video thinking, well, you know, there's ways around it, either in editing or in OBS, if not through the AVerMedia software itself, which may very well be the case that you can fix it there. I just need to spend more time. The main reason I didn't spend more time on that was, I mean, one, I want to release the episode and be done with it. But the other reason was, when I initially tried doing some things in the multi-stream or multi-screen mode, whatever they call it, I felt like I was getting frame drops in the recording, and I don't know if that's inherent to that mode or if I just had some bad record settings. Maybe I was recording to a bad file format, or it might have been because I maybe was testing it while I was doing that test stream. Because actually, you know what's weird is, you know, when I was doing that initial test stream where I was like doing screen capture of the Rec Central the 100,000 subscribers stream we did.
Right.
I was doing screen capture of the Rec Central while recording. All of those Wii U games I recorded had a ton of frame drops. So I actually went back and re-recorded all that Wii U stuff. But the weird thing is, the other systems I recorded didn't.
Really? Just the Wii U stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing that's just coincidence. I'm guessing there couldn't be anything about the Wii U signal. I mean, that would be super weird. But it just seemed like it didn't handle it didn't handle being screen captured and recording at the same time very well. But other than that, so I might, maybe it was then that I was testing. I just can't remember. But I definitely got frame drops in that mode. So I didn't want to investigate further. And that's why, you know, have that disclaimer on there that said, you know, don't consider this a full, complete review. I mean, I could be overlooking some things, but like for now, especially for the price, I mean, it sure seems like the ultimate card at the moment, you know, for, you know, 4K HDR or Nexus.
Can I send them to attack? Hang on, I'm gonna see if this works. Here we go. It's just gonna be nice. Come on, it's like boats again. I don't even know where I'm supposed to go. Some of these, like, these
Like, can you get a sense of like how tough a reef would be to conquer?
I mean, I've conquered the smaller ones. You can usually tell how tough they're going to be by looking at. Whoa, what is that? Ugh, it's like that's kind of scary. I guess we're going to try and fight the the Kubera snapper.
Oh man, that's a big fish.
I know, it's scary looking.
Bobo Fett is saying, remember the video game soundtrack CD episode? Did anyone else start collecting video game CDs after that? Yeah, we really had high hopes for that episode, and it didn't do very well.
Yeah, I guess in terms
of... it's not that it wasn't well-received, but it just didn't get a lot of views. I thought that was going to be kind of just a different and interesting topic for people. I thought I was going to get some good views, but not really.
It is what it is. I mean, then you look at something like Mega Man. The Mega Man video is like done like way better than I ever expected it to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like either one of
us. The 4K episode hasn't like blown up like crazy or anything, but it's done well, and I think it will. I think it will be a consistent long-term performer.
Yeah.
Share it with all your friends.
There is a.
Tell them to turn off ads keep ads on while they watch it. I did spend 3 months of my life on it, so.
Kind of crazy to think about it like that. All right, take on these king crabs now.
Kind of ridiculous that I can't let that happen again.
I'm trying to use melee attacks on these guys to break their shells.
I'm kind of hoping the 4K episode can be a way for a lot of people to discover the channel as well.
Yeah.
Just looking for information about 4K TVs. Does turning Adblock on off for vids actually do anything? You can whitelist. I mean, I use... I forget what it's even called. It's not Adblock. Ublock Origin. Like, I whitelist YouTube. So...
Right.
You know, or whitelist anything that, you know, I explicitly, you know, want to support, you know, you can whitelist YouTube. You know, and you should. I mean, you know.
But in general, I mean, I guess it's so crazy to think about like how long it took. I hope it did anybody think that it was it was what you expected it was going to be, or was it different than what you expected?
I mean, you're asking people if it was...
Just like in general.
Yeah. I mean, there was actually several comments, maybe at least two or three, that were like, this was the episode I didn't know I needed, which made me really happy, because that's exactly what I wanted to hear. Like, I wanted people to be like, oh, I didn't think I cared about 4K stuff, or I didn't realize that this was going to have so much retro stuff, or, you know, something like that. I was hoping to surprise people, and, you know, and they'll be like, oh, this is actually relevant to me, and I didn't think it would be.
Sorry, I'm just trying to balance the audio better, and I guess at this point I won't be...
My volume is loud, huh? That's weird.
There you go.
Like, I thought, I was listening at the beginning of the stream, and I thought, that time I thought it sounded pretty well.
Any chance for another downloads on disc? The downloads on disc that I want to do next is like a complete edition. What is this? There's a whale down here.
Oh, like games that like
have everything
100%.
Yes.
Which might have some overlap with things we've already covered.
True. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people, I'm not sure if a lot of people, but I mean, just in general, like, people might have thought, like, oh, you know, this is, are you going to be reviewing a bunch of TVs? But, like, that's impossible for us to, like, review just, like, do a video on, like, more TVs than we really did. I mean, you're lucky that we had, like, is access to the amount of stuff that we did. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. When you play Mega RGB video on capture cards like Dazzle, EasyCap, Elgato, HDPVR, XCapture One, and AverMedia, we have talked about doing it, but I think it would definitely have to be like a big collaboration. And I mean, it would be a lot of work.
Yeah.
And you know, that's always a moving target too. Like that was, you know, that was one of the challenges with the 4K episode is all of a sudden, like mid-production, I find out that this HDR capture card has just been
right.
And I'm like, well, I either need to get my hands on it or I need to be able to address it somehow.
Right. Epos Vox is a great channel for like that kind of stuff. Like he does a lot of stuff just like with capture cards. So if you get a chance, take a look.
There were a few comments regarding the 420 and 422 explanations and stuff. You know, presumably from people smarter than me. You know, and my goal with that stuff, my goal with any RGB episode is not to like, overload with technical information. Like basically, I want to give you my relatively limited understanding of a topic. Because once I understand it, like I feel like if I can understand it, then like I can word this in a way that will make like the average person understand it too. Because like I don't have like an overly technical understanding of this stuff. So like with the 420 and 422 and that kind of stuff, like all I wanted to express with that was, you know, here is a mode where there's this thing and then there's less of it and then there's less of this other thing, you know, just to show that there is less of things, but in most console game scenarios, you're not going to, there's going to be no tangible difference. You know, so I, you know, there was someone pointed out that I should have made, and the color was not terribly relevant here. You know, one person said, oh, I should have made for 420, I should have made the blue bar the shortest and the red bar, the middle one. Because YCBCR. And I'm like, oh, I didn't think of it that way. The reason I made blue the shortest was I heard that in camera systems, I don't know if it's all camera systems or just as a common thing, where blue is the weakest channel in a weakest part of the signal, or CB technically is the weakest part of a camera imaging signal. That was why I made that. But the thing is with like YUV technically,
oh, look at this. I can strengthen things.
You know, with YUV, technically, those could be represented by any color. But, you know, I guess with what you would normally see in like a PS4 or whatever, I guess it's B or CR that would be the zero. But it doesn't matter. I wasn't really trying to say anything about any particular system or how anything does it. I was just an overview of the concept of life. But yeah, lots of people understand that stuff a lot more than I do. The main point there was, you know, it's a smart way of compressing picture information that doesn't make a tangible difference to the human eye most of the time.
I don't know if this makes it so I can do better here. Let's see. I wish I could make the one that I have do better.
Why you guys don't play RPGs that show on the videos? We don't like streaming RPGs because we don't like.
We want to be able to streaming. Yeah. I mean, I could see
streaming kind of halves the amount of attention that I can give to the game that I'm streaming.
Right.
Now, that's just not the right environment for me to enjoy an RPG. I prefer to stream action games generally.
All right, so there's just like a lot. I had no idea that I could power up my fish.
I mean, you're about to open up your world, it sounds like.
Maybe.
Did anyone catch that when the Framemeister was screwed up, I used the Karnov clip? The weirdest thing about, like, when the Framemeister screws up with the deep color thing, like, it actually will be screwed up even if the TV is off. Like, if I'm just capturing Framemeister. It's really screwed up there, too. That's why I was able to do direct capture of that screw-up. What was some of the most interesting information in the video for you?
For me?
Yeah.
I mean, for me, like, I had always... I've never seen HDR in action before. Mm-hmm. So just kind of getting an idea of, like, what it actually does. Because I've always been the opinion, like, it's always been one of those things that, like, you know, it's, you can't really understand it unless you see it for yourself. Does that make sense?
And you have to see good implementations of it for it to make sense, too, I think.
Right.
Like, it took me a while to kind of wrap, like, the reason I wanted to talk about it so much in the video was, or make you talk about it, rather. it took me a while to wrap my mind around, and I was telling John, I'm like, when I first got my TV, I'm like, I don't know if I'm really seeing HDR as being this big wow thing. And he said, you know, OLED in a way kind of almost overshadows because OLED is this big wow in and of itself, right? And it almost overshadows the wow that you get from HDR because OLED makes everything look better, right?
Right.
I'm like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. So I had to start thinking of it more in terms of once I realized, like, oh, like, I don't want, like, 100% brightness for my non-HDR stuff because everything is then too bright. Everything is, like, on this percentage scale going up, and it just makes everything that's bright, like, way too bright. Like, I remember, like, in the first week I had my TV, Drum came over for a movie night and watched Blade Runner. You know, Blade Runner is a. I remember, like, in some of the scenes that were, like, it was all pitch black except, like, for, like, you could see some windows or something. Those windows were, like, burning my eyes because I had it at 100% for non-HDR content, and it's because everything just scales up, you know, 100%. Whereas with HDR, it's like you've got this, like, baseline normal. You just can control how the light bounces around more thoroughly. You know, things that are supposed to be brighter than paper white, as we say in the video, can be. So that's why I suggest setting non-HDR signals to, like, 75%, which is what feels like paper white to me. You know, when you're actually looking at an HDR game, I mean, it shouldn't be, like, over bright or anything most of the time, but, you know, if you see the sun or something, you know, and out in the sky, you know, things should be a little, at least a little brighter or a lot brighter than they are in the rest of the scene. So HDR was a thing that it wasn't like this immediate wow thing for me. It took me some time to understand it and play games that had, like, good implementations to really wrap my head around
it. I think a lot of people probably got a big help out of the limited versus full
explanation. Yeah, too. I mean, basically. basically, if you think your black levels are being crushed, or if you think your black levels are washed out, then you've got a conflict with your range settings between your console and TV. Now, I recommend generally using automatic or manual settings on both the console and the TV. Because my, you know, like I said in the video, my automatic settings, I didn't even think about it for a while because it seemed to work. And then all of a sudden, I was noticing that I was not getting perfect black levels, which is really easy to notice on an OLED. If Ooh. You're on a screen that's supposed to be black and it's gray, then you know you're not getting the right black level. And so it turned out that, like, after this firmware update, the automatic black level feature just stopped working correctly. So I have to have it, you know, set, you know, low for limited range or high for full range. And most of the time I don't have to change that because here's what's interesting. You know, the OSSC should be high because the OSSC is full range. You can't change that.
Yeah.
But because the resolutions I'm sending to it are 1200p and 960p, like, and that's the only device that's sending 1200p or 960p, then it remembers when it receives those resolutions to set the black level high. So I don't have to touch it when I play the OSSC. But I can use all my other systems on limited range and it keeps it set to low. So it's...
Wait, it'll automatically adjust for the OSSC?
For resolution, yeah.
Oh,
cool. Well, because it detects it's a different resolution.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yes, I understand. My other TV did that too. I powered up and I defeated a barracuda. So I think that I'm figuring it out a little bit.
Yeah,
there's a lot of little stuff.
Like
a lot of things in here, though, that...
I mean, the ocean is yours to conquer.
Basically, yes. And I'm going to.
I mean, I think it seems kind of awesome.
Yeah. Do you wish that you were the ace of seafood?
I do wish I was the ace of seafood.
I should have added HDR in this game, though. I mean, since I don't have a 4K, you know, I was talking to John about 4K, like, because, you know, PS4 games, even on regular PS4, do support HDR. But he's like, you know, it's kind of weird. He said it looks weird, and it's not very impressive, like on 1080p stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he just said,
like, only on regular models, or is it that way on a pro as well? If you set it to 1080p,
I have no idea. I don't know. That's just
that's kind of strange to hear.
I mean, I asked him. He says it's a little weird that way, but I mean, you know, it might not be.
I actually kind of my cousin's son was visiting my parents yesterday and over the whole past week, but yesterday and today my mom brought him over here for a few hours each day to hang out because you know he wanted to play video games and stuff
yeah
with me, and he brought his PS4 over, which he has a Slim.
Oh, and, cool.
And he was showing me No Man's Sky.
Oh, so did he have the new update?
Yeah. So he was showing me No Man's Sky, and I hooked up his, because the easiest thing for me to do to hook up his PS4 was to connect it to the Monoprice 8 input switcher. Mm-hmm. And HDR worked. Like, I didn't even think about it. Like, I was not, I just didn't even think about it. Like, when he launched No Man's Sky, HDR, like, automatically happened. So, I mean, and the reason it was able to work, I guess, is because, you know, it was only pushing through 1080p, you know? So it wasn't like too much bandwidth for the mono price.
Exactly, but exactly.
I guess that indicates that the mono price is like kind of a true switch, because this was just passing the signal. Like the mono price switcher didn't have to support HDR. And right. I believe that's the case with HDMI 2.0 switchers as well. Like they have to be able to pass the amount of the correct amount of bandwidth. They need to be able to pass 18 gigabits per second, but they don't have to support HDR directly. Whereas it's different with AV receivers. They have to support the HDR standard. That wasn't something I got into with the video, but with switchers, it's all about bandwidth, as far as I can tell. But with receivers, it's not just about bandwidth, it's also about supported features. Even if you're just doing pass-through mode.
Yeah. Did anybody out there like end up getting a receiver based on the kind of information in the video? Or is anybody considering getting it?
There were a lot of people that were kind of at least considering it. They're like, well, I didn't expect to want a Denon receiver after watching this
episode. Yeah.
I mean, you got a really good deal on it. I mean, you bought it like...
Well, that's how much... Mine's,
huh?
Yeah, I mean, it was like $150 less than yours, I think, or something like that.
Or even more than that. You got quite a deal. And I got a deal, too, because it was on sale. It was on sale $200 off, which made it the same price as the next level down. And I think, don't quote me on this if anyone's looking for one, I think the next level down had all the features I needed, but I figured I may as well buy the next level up because it's the same. It was that day. It was the same price.
Yeah.
But you just wanted to go ahead and get it because you knew it worked with OSSC. You knew it would be future proof for 4K HDR stuff.
Right, and it was in the way that I had like so many splitters and stuff. It just made sense in the way that I have my setup here.
It simplifies things pretty nicely. I mean, at the time I was kind of upset that I had to buy it. Because like I felt like I had spent so much money in 2017. And I was just like, I thought I was done spending money. I don't want to spend this money. But then once I plugged it up and everything, the OSSC worked, I no longer had trouble switching 4K systems, HDR worked like it needed to, because those switchers and splitters and stuff, it just was not working out. And what, just having everything just work the way it's supposed to, I was like, okay, I love this thing. You know, my tune changed pretty quick from I don't want to spend money to okay, I'm glad I spent money.
I was doing pretty good there. I'm going to try and breed some more stuff here. I can breed some, I can breed a barracuda. Ooh.
So are you carrying around in your team like creatures that are not your mackerels?
Yeah, I think that, yeah, I am, I have a, yes. I think that I can put them in the first place here and actually play as them. So we're going to find out if I can be a barracuda. Because if you select them, it gives you different attacks. And I think you can unlock attacks.
The dinner receiver I have is the X3400H. Let me... Yeah, X3400H. That line was maybe the hardest line.
See, I'm a barracuda
line.
Now. Sorry.
That was one of the hardest lines for me to say in the video was the Denon X3400H. I could not say that at the time. But I want to say the next level down was maybe X2400H, and I think it had all the features that I needed. I think it had like a zone 2, but not a monitor 2. So I've actually got 3 HDMI outputs, but I only use 2 of them. I only use the monitor 1 and the zone 2.
I think a big takeaway for the episode also is that there's a ton of hidden costs.
Yeah.
Upgrading all this stuff if you want to do it like in a way that will like work correctly into the future as mm-hmm. well. I mean, there is like you discovered it firsthand. You're just like, oh my gosh, it's one thing after another.
Yeah. You know, the crazy thing is, you know, it's funny because if you go look around on forums or whatever, you know, there's, you know, still people are viciously fighting that, you know, every HDMI cable is the same as any other HDMI cable. It's like, you know, we video people like us have been propagating that for a long time, you know, because at 1080p, there was almost no cable that was going to fail anyway, you know?
Right.
It was, you know, any cable would be sufficient for that kind of bandwidth. And now we're having to backtrack on that and say, well, once you get this much information going through the cable, a cable's not just as good as any other anymore.
Right.
And so that's a tricky thing. But yeah, there are hidden costs. The TVs don't have to be that expensive if you just need a basic setup, but if you want to stream, if you need to split it, if you need HDR, if you need OSSC support, you know, all that kind of stuff, it adds up. It adds up a lot.
What do you think I should do with my old TV? I've been thinking a bit about what I should do with it.
Your old TV?
Yeah.
I don't know. You should do something cool with it, though.
Hang on. Where's the sardine?
Right, the argument that every HDMI cable is the same was a rebuttal to, you know, monster cables and whatever that were $100. And at the time, it was very true. Now, the one shot in the video that has Secret of Mana, which, you know, it's interesting because that's a 4K 60 game. And it's got, like, the speckling in the picture. That is cheated, kind of, the way I got that shot, only because it would have been basically impossible to get what I had before, and I couldn't even remember which cables I used. Like, when I first set up my TV, I was going through a switcher from the PS4, a 2.0 switcher, to the TV, and it wasn't... You know, it just wasn't sufficient. And I was playing Final Fantasy 14. Now, normally,
we got
$2 from Jakester. Just want to say congrats on 100,000. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
It's really crazy to be there.
It's still pretty crazy. I'm wondering when we'll get the offer for the silver play button. Okay, sorry.
But yeah, so. What were we talking about? Oh yeah, yeah. I was playing when I first got my 4K TV. I was playing Final Fantasy 12 Zodiac Age because I got my TV the day after that came out. What was that beep I just heard?
I don't know. This is my phone. I don't know where my phone is though.
But anyway, I got my 4K TV the day after the Zodiac Age came out. So that was like kind of my big break-in game for my TV. And whenever the screen did a transition, not all the time, but it happened over time. Like, it would start going through this phase where when the screen was black, I would see these little speckles in the image.
Right.
And it was hard to see. I'm sure they were there when the screen wasn't black, but they were hard to see. But there were occasional drops, you know, over the course of playing the game for a couple hours. And I just wasn't going to be able to recreate that perfectly and really be able to even capture it or make it really very visible. So what I actually did, I mean, I sort of cheated it, but the point is true. The point is true, but how I got the shot was, you know, kind of real roundabout. Actually... You know, because I wanted to make sure I was sending through 4K through the cable. Mm-hmm. I actually got wire cutters and like sort of ruined this, you know, generic basic HDMI.
And that's the one you show in the video, right? That you cut. Terrible.
Yeah, where Secret of Mana has like the speckles and stuff in it.
Right.
So I got the wire cutters. I like sort of tore up the cable a bit, but it was still basically performing. So I actually like took the wire cutters and it took some time to get it right, but like I was like squeezing the wires with the wire cutters. And it was like, you know, I had to get it just right. If I pushed too hard, it completely blanked out. If I didn't push enough, I wasn't getting anything at all. So I had to push it just right to get the specs.
Well, I think I've upgraded most of my cables. They're already 18 gig.
Yeah, I think although, I remember you know, doing that.
It's funny. We had I had to re-record every single line that said gigabit for that episode because I said gigabyte, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm just laughing about it.
Literally every time.
Yeah, and you did it once too.
No, I didn't, but I screwed up the line for some other reason. I forget what it was. I screwed up that line for some other reason, but I can't remember what it was. I didn't say gigabyte, but yeah, it's understandable. I mean, you weren't the one that had to do the research for this.
Right.
I mean, you know, so it's understandable, but it was funny. But you know what was interesting when I was editing? I found that I don't know if this is something you've ever discovered, but I find that if I have to do like a revoice of something now, it feels like it's easier to make the change in audio tone go unnoticed or at least less obvious if you cut it like midline. Like instead of like reusing the entire line. So sometimes when you revoice those lines, the only part of the line that I actually cut in was just the word 18 gigabits.
Oh, okay.
Now some lines, I mean, it varied. It depended on the situation. But I found that like, it just like, it felt more natural, like midline, like my brain just didn't think, oh, this is recorded at another time. The audio quality sounds a little different. Do you have any other issues with the FrameMeister because I am looking into HDR? No, it's just when the deep color is on, it just seems to screw up. But otherwise, it seems to work fine. But I have not used the FrameMeister as extensively on my 4K TV as I have the OSSC. That was something I really wanted to do with the OSSC, you know, in the first place was, you know, or with the 4K TV in the first place, was I just wanted to use the OSSC more. Because the color on the OSSC is better.
Yeah, yeah.
There can't be problems like with the OSSC too, in the sense that, you know, for example, I used to think my Genesis had virtually no jail bars, which is untrue. You can see them more clearly on the OSSC. On the FrameMeister, just kind of smudges certain details, which can be good and bad. The FrameMeister kind of generates some noise of its own, though.
Right. It is funny, though, when you think about it, because there was a point where we were just kind of like, OSSC, like, I guess it's cool.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, your perspective on it totally changes if you can capture it or you can display it on your TV.
Yes.
And two, when it first launched, it didn't have 4X and 5X. And,
right.
You know? You know, FrameMeister was always going to look sharper because of that.
Yeah, look at this. I'm like... Uh-oh, where's the other... There should be one more, I guess. Did I get it?
By the way, I don't know if I showed this last time or not, but this is a retro tank.
Oh, yeah. Someone was asking, oh, is there going to be a an episode on the Retro Tank and or the...
Yeah, and Retro Tank, in the video comments, Retro Tank has been in high demand.
Yeah, so that's probably going to be next episode, I'm guessing.
It's probably going to be my next one. I don't think it's going to be complicated. I mean, and
Honestly, probably the next episode on the channel, because I'm going to be, since I'm gone for a week, like, I'm not going to have enough time to...
Yeah, so I think I will probably do this next. I mean, I haven't even tried it yet. You know, so barring unforeseen complications, someone's asking, what is a Retro Tank? A Retro Tank, it is just 480p. You know, so it's like a it does much less than the OSSC does. Just 480p. Takes 240p to 480p, 480i to 480p, 480p to 480p.
Right, and it's super. I mean, it's convenient for if you play in composite, and it'll right, it'll be very it'll be huge for us to be able to capture composite using it going forward as well.
Right, that's kind of the big thing.
It's like you can get like that composite look without having the kind of. I mean, up to this point, we've generally had the capture composite going into the FrameMeister, which is fine, but this kind of gives us a more accurate representation.
Capturing composite this way, though, would be more equivalent to capturing it through the OSSC.
Yes.
So it would make for a more fair comparison.
Yes.
So I'm excited about that. So it does composite, it's video, and component.
Right.
So, no RGB... and only up to 480p, but it does give you easy access to those signals. And I know that Bob from Retro RGB has done some stuff with running like HDMI to VGA into the frame, or excuse me, OSSC. And then line doubled 480p, so you get 960p S video composite component that way.
But that's,
I don't think it'll be crazy research or anything.
I have no idea what your schedule is like, but I feel like we're kind of like in a roll, like in a good spot right now. We want to keep it.
Yeah, I think so. I don't, you know, other than the fact that I want to, I still want to spend some time playing games next week. I'll try to, because like your last day available to shoot anything would be Friday, right?
Right.
So I'll try to do as much testing and research with the Retro Tank as I can. And, you know, try to get a script ready enough for you to voice it. And maybe I can get an episode done while you're gone. I mean, I thought I was going to do some non-tech stuff next after that. But you wouldn't think I'd be in the mood to do the Retro Take. But for some reason, I kind of feel like I am in the mood.
I think it's appealing because it's like it's like not this huge thing.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it's going to be...
In some ways, it might be easier than doing just like a game episode in general.
It may be. It may be.
Oh my god. I'm getting a little bit better at this now.
Yeah, it seems like you've got it figured out how to upgrade, and you are becoming the ace of
seafood. The ace of seafood.
I'm gonna look this up on how long to beat.
Nobody has ever beat this, I'm guessing.
Yeah, let's see if anyone has ever registered how ace of seafood on how long to beat. We've got one submission on how long to beat. It says 3 hours, 20 minutes. No other details.
Oh.
I'm going to search for Ace of Seafood speedrun. Well, here's speedrun.com. I don't know if that's like, you know, considered the main hub or not. I don't know.
Oh, geez.
I don't.
The blue is is a bluefin tuna. I've never seen a bluefin tuna.
The best first place speedrun for Ace of Seafood right now is 10 minutes and 20 seconds by someone called Beardy.
Oh, okay. Well,
second place appears to be a Japanese name. 13 minutes, 45 seconds. Someone named Dimbus. 14 minutes, 23 seconds. Those are...
Oh, jeez. There we go.
Oh, and there's a few categories here. Okay. So there's any percent. That's 10 minutes, 20 seconds. All reefs is 30 minutes and 3 seconds.
How can they be that good at it?
I don't know. But apparently there are some true aces of seafood out there. You had your doubts, but they exist.
Well, I'll never be able to compete. It's taken me a little while, but I got a barracuda gene.
Adam Jenkins thinks there's something fishy about those records.
Oh, Missouri Game Con was this weekend.
Oh, it was this past weekend.
Yeah, it was yesterday.
Oh, man, I didn't even realize.
It
would have been nice to go.
Yeah. Maybe in the future. We'll be invited back. Oh, geez, it's a great white shark. That's like... Ugh. It's creepy. Just sitting there waiting for me to attack it.
Adam Jenkins says, Missouri Game Con was good, but they downsized a bit too much this year. Yeah, I wonder why. Do you think it was they didn't get the numbers they were hoping for last year, or was it a scheduling conflict at the venue or something? Like, why? That did make me sad that it was so much smaller. I hope they build it back up again.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I feel like it could be a really special convention. I mean, you know, it seemed like the people in the area were really supportive of the convention because they don't have anything else like that for, you know, quite some distance.
Right. I don't know.
The venue kept a lot more people shoulder to shoulder. I'm not sure if it was just the size of the location or the fact that they went from 2 days to one.
Because everybody knew that they had that one day to go.
Yeah. Were the vendors good at least?
Yeah, did you buy anything? Have we heard of Nitro? Yeah. I watch Nitro Red stuff. I am a fan. I can really see, like, this would be a lot of fun. I mean, I think it's better than I was expecting.
Yeah. It seems pretty cool. I'm really curious now what John is saying about HDR, like, being weird in 1080p.
Well, I mean...
Like, I mean, I thought No Man's Sky looked fine. with the HDR I saw, although it didn't really jump out at me. But it was activated, you know, on my cousin's PS4, you know.
Yeah.
You know, but I had no point of comparison, you know. I mean, if I saw something like Horizon Zero Dawn or like in Horizon, you have Horizon, right?
Yeah, that was the game that I actually tested it on earlier.
Yeah, like the title screen has this like sunset.
Right.
And the sun should be like noticeably brighter than the rest of the screen.
It is. I didn't think it was like overly noticeably brighter, but I didn't have a lot of time to really mess with it because I was prepping for the stream too.
Did you notice that there was an excess of shots in the video that are just like pointed directly toward the sun?
I didn't even think about it. But you're just trying to capture as best as you can, really.
Yeah.
And that seems to be like the main way to do it.
Even when I was using that, I mean, I gotta say the Avermedia made production a lot easier, like a lot easier, because here's the thing, like when I'm talking about HDR or you're talking about HDR, I felt like I had to be running the game in HDR. But before I had the AverMedia card, all I could do was shoot off the screen. And it's not like we were even presenting the game in HDR, but if I'm talking about HDR, the game needs to be run in HDR mode.
Right.
Even if I can't show it as HDR. So my only option was to shoot off the screen. And there was a lot of that in the video. There's a lot of off-screen HDR stuff. But boy, like, it made my life so much easier to not have to do that every single time. And I was, you know, once I got the AverMedia card, I was able to just use the tone map recorded HDR.
Yeah.
What's the model number on my 4K TV? I don't know what the exact number is, but usually people just refer to the LGs as like, you know, because I think there's like some region codes and stuff in there. Mine is the 55-inch C7. So last year was like the C7. The previous year was B6. And I think this year, the equivalent, you just got a C8. Is that right?
Right.
C8?
Man, these clownfish have like shields on them. All right, one more life. I'm calling it. At least I have, in fact, conquered the telephone booth. I'm sorry, the telephone box.
Oh, wow. You had to actually get tickets to go to the Metal Jesus crew?
Oh, really?
I mean, I guess it makes sense if there wasn't that much room in the venue.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, that's I see, like, people are talking about the GC video thing. We're gonna be. I know that there's a new version of the GC video, like a new plug and play is coming out from, what is it, Insurrection Gaming or something like that. They have like a pretty crazy recreation of the exact like connector of the component cables, basically. They've spent a lot of money on it, I guess. That's what they said. So I think we're going to be covering that in the Eon in a video. Jeez. It's exploded into a bunch of blood, bloody fish carcass.
You know, I have to say, I was pretty into, you know, the Ace of Seafood just kind of made me think of it. You know, one of the games that I recorded on the OSSC when I was shooting Drums TV, he's got EVO for Super Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you right. start off the game as a fish, and like, you know, you bite these other fish and other sea creatures and stuff, and like, they become like hunks of bone meat. Like, it's like bone in meat, like Castlevania meat that they drop.
But I feel like, I think this game may have only been made by two people.
I mean, I can believe it. But yeah, like I never thought I would really be that interested in that game, but I don't know. Watching Drum play it while I was shooting it kind of made me want.
Maybe my favorite shot in the entire video is just like the picture of him like sitting on his couch playing games for like a split second. Like, I thought it was cool just to kind of see him like in his environment playing his games. You know, it gives it kind of a like, for a moment, it felt like almost like documentary-esque. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I never really gave it too deep a thought, but originally, like, I was thinking I would have him like wave at the camera or something cheesy.
No, like,
intentionally cheesy.
I thought it was fun. Well, I was just looking at the downloadable games that I have here that I know. Let's see if there's anything I could play, but...
Well, does that about do it?
I think that's going to do it. I think that there will be some maybe midday streaming of other games throughout this week, though, if I feel
yeah,
like it.
We want to get in a little bit of a groove with that, I think.
Right.
You know? Do a little more. But again, this will be on the Twitch channel. Casual.
Yes.
Might be one of us. Might be both of us. Might possibly have a guest. Who knows?
Yeah.
But it's not meant to be as, like, planned of a thing. I mean, not that we have a much of a plan for Sunday night things, but it's a regular, predictable event, you know?
Yep, I think that's gonna be fun. Maybe I can wrap up Sonic Mania, and maybe Dick Tracy, maybe even Super Hydra, maybe the Ace of Seafood at some point.
Unfinished business.
Yeah, the unfinished business.
You need to put that in your physical folder.
Oh, yes, I will. I'm sorry. Well, I have it. It's just in my PlayStation 4 folder.
PlayStation 4. See, mine is like...
I have PlayStation 4
physical,
and
digital.
PlayStation Network. No, it's just... And then
I would put it after A Way Out. That would be the correct alphabetization.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. It was just... Can I, like, rearrange the folder? There we go. And, you know, maybe it might be fun to play Bloodborne. I've never played a Souls game. And I maybe, like, that would anybody in the chat be interested in seeing me, like, play Bloodborne, like, as someone who has never played a Souls game or anything? Is that just, would that be excruciating for the chat?
there'd be a lot of backseat driving, I feel.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. I mean, Bloodborne, I feel like, is like almost like 3D Castlevania.
And that's, I mean, And I feel like that might be easier to kind of come in as my first one than starting with, like, well, I guess I could get, like, Dark Souls remastered at this point.
Yeah, I mean, Dark Souls might be easier to get into because it's slower paced and you can get a shield. Bloodborne forces you to dodge much more. I mean, Dark Souls makes you dodge as well, but you do have a shield, so that gives you the option to dodge, shield. Bloodborne, you really can't do shields in Bloodborne. It's a lot of dodging and, like, countering. If you want to use your gun, you really need to counter, which can be kind of tough. It's a faster-paced game than Dark Souls. I mean, not significantly so, I don't think, but...
I don't think I would get too frustrated because I would go into it kind of knowing that it's...
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I feel like they aren't that hard of games. Like, you know, just think of it like playing Castlevania on the NES, you know? You just got to try the same thing again and again and again and again until you get past it. You know, you got your checkpoints along the way. It's really not that much different from an NES game.
You guys could do a Patreon video just going through your non-physical collections, just like your physical collections. Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of PS3 games.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we kind of did that almost with the Wii Shop Channel video.
Kinda.
I don't have very many digital-only current-gen games.
I do have a pretty awesome... I haven't started editing. It's probably not going to be much editing, but I do have, like, a two-hour video that will be coming up on the Patreon. But it's just, like, hanging out with Mike Micah in his basement, going through tons of stuff and just talking about it. Yeah. It's very, you know, fun. It's just us hanging out and talking. And, picking out whatever crosses our path. It's pretty cool. And it is literally, like, 2 hours long.
Yeah.
So it should be cool eventually. Like, maybe I'll do that this week. I can probably put that up pretty easily.
All right.
All right. Well, thanks for watching, everybody. I will not be here next week. For sure, I will not be here.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think
so about that. So it's going to be you and whoever you choose to bring along with you. Because I am going to be in a cabin in the woods. And not, like, I'll have my laptop with me. They're, like, right. But generally, I'm going to try to just kind of unplug for 5 days.
That'll be good. Yeah. That'll be good. What day do you come back?
I come back. We drive back from Michigan to my wife's parents on Saturday. It's mm-hmm. like a, from here, it's probably like a, like, 8 to 10 hour drive.
Oh, wow, that's further than I thought.
Yeah, so it's up there.
Are you driving it in 1 day?
Yes. And it's cool because, you know, my father-in-law is bringing a trailer, so we're bringing our bikes and all this other stuff. It's going to be awesome.
Okay.
And then we'll probably come back, drive 8 hours, and stay at my wife's parents' house, and then we'll get up in the morning and come home. So I'll be back, like, the Sunday after the following.
All right.
So who knows what you have in store for next week?
I'll have to think on it. Yeah. I don't know. But thanks, everyone, for watching.
Yep. And we'll see you soon. Good night.
Good night.